Thank you for listening to this message from Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. It is our prayer that God would speak to you in a real way through His Word. To learn more about our ministry, or to connect with us, go to www.gcnaz.church or search for Community Naz on Facebook. Now, let's dive into God's Word today.
I remember one Christmas Eve when I was a teenager, which I was telling some people this morning, as I got up this morning, I trimmed my beard last night, and I was looking in the mirror, and that's a tough thing to do. I have a lot of broken mirrors in my house. But I realized something about myself that I haven't really noticed a whole lot recently. My beard is a lot whiter than it was when I got here. There's not a whole lot of brown or black left. It's pretty all white now and gray. Teenage years are far, far in the past now for me. And it just seems like they get farther and farther away. You know, remembering those years gets harder and harder. But I remember this one Christmas Eve as a teenager. It was late, and I was helping my dad shovel snow off of the driveway. Yeah, you Southerners don't know what it's like to shovel snow like we get in Yankee land, okay? Some of you are from the north, and you understand the pain that it is to have to shovel driveways, okay? And you shovel, and it just keeps coming down. And then by the time you finish and get to the end, it's all back to the way it was before, so now you got to start over, right? The best thing, though, on this particular night was that on this night, the snow was falling softly. And for my dad and I, the world was quiet. There was not a lot going on. You didn't hear cars going down the road or anything. It was just quiet. It's the kind of deep, snowy silence where everything kind of feels hushed. And again, for you Southerners, you don't really know what that's like with snow, okay? But you know what the hush is like when you go outside and it's just quiet, right? We stop for a moment to catch our breath because shoveling snow is hard and it requires a lot of cardio. So if you need cardio, just move north and you can take care of that. And we looked up at the night sky. Now, by the way, if you've never lived in a real metro area, living in the suburbs of Chicago, there is light pollution like nobody's business. So you look up and you don't see a whole lot of stars. But on this particular night, you could see the stars. I don't know if it was the reflection of the snow or what it was, but we could see stars that night. And they were bright. And the cold air felt sharp and it felt alive. And I remember thinking, this feels like a holy moment. Not because anything spectacular was happening at that moment. It just was because I felt small. And somehow that felt right. Like I was small. I am small compared to a ginormous God. And that moment sticks with me even to this day because it reminds me of the shepherds in the Christmas story. They weren't doing anything extraordinary. They were just working, watching sheep, maybe staying alert, doing what they did every night of their existence. And then, in the middle of their ordinary, something holy broke out, didn't it? We've been walking through the rhythm of Christmas together this Advent, listening to Mary's song of surrender in week one, Zechariah's proclamation after silence in week two, and then last week, Joseph's quiet lullaby of trust. And now, we come to the shepherds. What I would argue the most unlikely recipients of the greatest birth announcement in absolute history. Let's be honest. Most of us feel pretty ordinary. Maybe I'm speaking for myself. Maybe nobody else feels this way, but I do. I feel pretty ordinary. We go to work. We take care of our families. We pay the bills, we try to be decent people, and sometimes, especially during the Christmas season, we wonder if there's more. We see the lights, we hear the music, We feel the pressure to be joyful. But deep down, we might feel unnoticed, maybe unimportant, maybe unseen. And this is why the shepherds matter. Because if the rhythm of Christmas reached them, these dirty, tired, unremarkable people on the night shift, then guess what? It can reach us too. It can reach us too. The hymn we sang at the very beginning, "While Shepherds Watched," captures this moment with simplicity and wonder. It doesn't glamorize the shepherds. It simply says that while they watched their flocks by night, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Heaven came to the hillside, and everything changed. Now, before we get into the actual scripture here, which is going to be Luke chapter 2 if you want to open your Bibles, there's something we need to understand about the shepherds. And maybe some of you have heard this before, but some of you maybe not. We don't, in modern times, many of us probably don't have any experience with someone who actually has the job shepherd, right? You probably don't know any. You probably never even met people who all they do is walk with flocks of sheep, okay? But in this day and age, this time, shepherds were not just considered people who did that job. They were often thieves. They were not trusted. They were dirty. They smelled bad. They were ostracized. They were considered less than. They were forgotten, unnoticed, not cared about, unthought of. They were just shepherds. But you know what's interesting about the scripture? There are a lot of shepherds in the Bible, aren't there? God chooses shepherds a lot, doesn't he? Shout out some verses or some parts of the Bible where the shepherds show up. Psalm 23. Where else? Moses was a shepherd, yep. David, the King David, was a shepherd. Shepherd boy. They're all over the scripture. God uses shepherds. So obviously God has a special place in his heart for the people who are low on the totem pole, right? The ones who don't matter to society. God matter. They matter to God. Let's read the story from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. It'll be on the screen for you if you need it. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Do you notice that every time an angel shows up, people, human beings, are terrified because of them? You know, we have this like picture that Hollywood and art has given us of what angels look like that doesn't really jive with the scripture, because the scripture says they're terrifying. Every time they're terrifying. They're always scared. And what do they always say? Do not be afraid. Right? Do not be afraid. We come for good reason, right? Like it's okay, relax. I'm going to pause for a second. Can you imagine one moment, it's just another quiet night, you're laying out in the grass, maybe you're under a tree, and then the next moment, the sky is filled with light and angels. Their fear makes sense, doesn't it? We've at least I have grown up in a culture where people still to this day are searching for ghosts, right? That are trying to find evidence of the paranormal, of the supernatural, right? Our obsession with this in this culture permeates all kinds of pop culture, right? These guys have a true supernatural experience where in the sky, there are all these angels. A whole host of heaven. Could you imagine how that must have felt? How many of you, by show of hands, let's be honest, how many of you would be scared just like the shepherds? I mean, imagine if it's one angel just hanging up in there. I would be scared, okay? Like, that would be like, wait, what? It's not every day you get to see an angel flying through the air, right? Humans don't go up in the air unless you're in an airplane, right? We don't just, hey, I can fly. Like, that doesn't happen. So it makes sense that they would be scared. It wasn't normal. What they are seeing is completely crazy. But here's the truth. The message that was being delivered, that was being given by the angels, wasn't normal either. Look at verses 10 and 11. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, we talked about this over the last few weeks. The Jews have been waiting 400 years in silence. There have been no prophets. There's been no word from God on anything. They're waiting and waiting, and they're oppressed. And here God comes through an angel to these shepherds, these lowly shepherds in the field doing their job in the middle of the night on the night shift. And God says through the angel, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." They are hearing the best news that they could possibly hear. Something that they, along with their countrymen, have been waiting for a long time. This is the heartbeat of Christmas. No fear, no judgment, but rather joy and invitation. Joy and invitation. And it wasn't for the elite, but for everyone, including the shepherds. And the angel continues in verse 12, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Now you may be wondering, why is the baby Jesus not in the manger? It's not Christmas yet. He's not in the manger yet. But you come back Wednesday, you'll see him. And then the sky explodes with praise. A multitude of angels declaring this in verse 14. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." There's an angel choir. How many of you like to sing? Don't have to be good at it, but you like singing. Okay, a good number of you. How many of you hate singing? Some of you? Not me. I should keep my hand down. You all know I like to sing. I'm just going to tell you, if you hate singing, you're going to hate heaven, because that's your job when you get to heaven. But you're going to be good at it, so that's good. That's good news, right? And here's the thing. What do the shepherds do when they see this? They see the angel choir and they're singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." What do? Number one, they don't debate. Number two, they don't delay. They say, "Let's go." They run to Bethlehem. They find Mary and Joseph and the baby. And then they do something that is, in my opinion, remarkable for these guys, specifically these guys. They go and tell everyone what they have seen. These guys that nobody cares about, that usually nobody would even listen to. The shepherds become the first evangelists of the gospel. If you think about yourself, "I'm not good enough, I'm not knowledgeable enough to be an evangelist for God, to speak God's truth, to be somebody who shares the gospel," guess what? The shepherds weren't either, and yet God used them. He can use you too. And when they return to their fields, they do so glorifying and praising God. You see, their circumstances haven't changed. They're still shepherds. But the thing is, their hearts have changed dramatically because they had an encounter with the living God. The rhythm of Christmas has moved from them watching to witnessing. It's moved from them watching to them witnessing. So what about you? Maybe you feel like a shepherd this season. Ordinary. Overlooked. Maybe stuck in a routine or a rhythm in your own home, your job. Maybe life feels like a quiet hillside and you're just trying to make it through the night so you can take a nap. I think about Jonathan, David, KJ, Jackie, when they have to work overnight. I know there are others, but those are the ones that come to my head because they're first responders. Especially the firefighters and EMS. Maybe not the EMS so much, firefighters. They're sitting there most of the time doing nothing. At least that's what the policemen tell me. But you can imagine sitting there in the middle of the night, and all this has taken place, and now you have to reflect, right? No one else is around. You're probably the one person that's awake guarding the flock, right? The other ones get to go to sleep. You imagine what your mind must have been thinking, what was racing through your head that first night after. Maybe you're in that space. What if God wants to meet you right there, right where you find yourself, in that silence, in that quiet? What if joy isn't something you have to manufacture this Christmas? What if it's something you receive, you take, because God offers it freely? The shepherds didn't earn the angel's visit. They didn't apply for it. They were just available. They were watching. And because they were watching, they saw the glory. Are you watching? Or are you so wrapped up in life, your life, that you're missing what God is doing right in your presence, right now? This can be in your own home. This could be at your job, your school. It could be in your church. Today's not the day for me to be harsh, but I'm just going to put this out there. If you come into this building, this church building, and amongst your church family, and all you see is negative, can I tell you, you're missing what God is doing here? God is at work. God is moving in powerful ways. Just one way that we talk about often, and I'm not going to stop talking about it because it's great. God is moving in our youth group and in our kids' ministry. We saw evidence of it this morning. God is good. And all the time. Are you open to the idea that God might want to break in to your ordinary life with extraordinary joy? Maybe it won't be angels in the sky, and I would say it's probably likely that you're not going to see angels in the sky. Maybe it'll be a quiet moment with your family on Christmas Eve. Maybe it'll be a song that you hear that stirs something deep within your soul. Maybe it'll be a conversation that brings healing. I had a hard conversation that didn't end well with my sister at Thanksgiving. And I've been praying for restoration and reconciliation in that relationship. So that's for me. I'm praying that a conversation will take place. That's just your pastor being vulnerable and honest with you. Maybe it'll be a simple reminder. You're not alone. Look around this room. Literally, look at around the room. If you think you're alone, look at all these people. Almost every chair in this place is filled today. Somebody say amen. Praise God, right? There are a bunch of people in this room that love you, that care about you. There are people in this room that you don't even know are praying for you. And they're all waiting for you to reach out if you need help. We're a family. I've said we're a dysfunctional one. That's okay. Every church is a dysfunctional family. But we're a family, right? And when you see it, when you see what God's doing, when you sense God's presence in your life, for God's sake, don't keep it to yourself. It's not for you to keep to yourself. Like the shepherds, tell someone. Share the joy. Let your life become part of the rhythm that carries the good news forward. As we prepare to celebrate Christmas, let's remember where we've been. Mary sang her surrender. Zechariah proclaimed God's faithfulness. Joseph trusted in the silence. And the shepherds ran with joy to witness, to share the gospel. The rhythm of Christmas isn't just about what God did then. It's about what he's doing now, in us and through us. Amen? So let's be like the shepherds. Let's watch. Let's listen. Let's be open to the holy breaking into our ordinary. Let's be open to the holy breaking into our ordinary. Because the rhythm of Christmas calls ordinary people to extraordinary joy. And I believe that Scripture tells us that joy is meant to be shared with everyone we come in contact with. As the worship team comes, they're going to lead us in a couple more songs to finish out today. Let this begin with me. Let it begin with us as a church family. Let it begin with you as you go through your day and your Christmas week.